Let's pray. Almighty and eternal God, we gather together today grateful, hopeful that our Lord Jesus will come once again. Perhaps some of us are struggling. Perhaps some of us are even a little disillusioned about what's going on in the world today. But you have assured us of one thing, is that you love us and you will never leave us. So Lord, as we enter in this season of Advent, it is a season of anticipation, of hopefulness. Lord, speak to us this morning. Help us to remove the distractions of a chaotic life and calm us with your presence. We ask this all in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Well, again, once again, good morning and welcome. You know, if you're a guest or a visitor with us this morning, a special welcome to you as we gather together starting the season of Advent. And for all of you online, we wish you were with us, but we wish God's peace and blessings to you as you join us today as we begin this first week of Advent. We're here. The Christmas season is here. So let me be the first to say, Merry Christmas! Wow. You know, Christmas is a season of many things, but mostly getting together with family and friends. You get together to honor the birth of Jesus. We call that the first Advent, when Jesus came. But, you know, I got to be honest, this is also a season of gifts, right? We get presents. Woohoo! Come on, you guys, you like presents. I know you do. Love presents. And to that theme of presents, today begins the new sermon series called The Gift of Christmas. Today is the first of four messages that these are gifts that we have received not just for Christmas, but every single day of the year. And this new series will take us all the way through Advent right up into the new year of 2025. Wow. Yeah, 2025. So speaking of gifts, the first gift that we're going to focus on today is the gift of hope. It ironically matches the first candle that was lit on the Advent wreath here today. It's often called the hope candle or the candle of hope. Now, if you notice on this Advent wreath that we have here, how many have Advent wreaths at their house? Any? Okay, just a few of you. How about the Advent calendars? You have the little calendars? Okay, that's kind of a thing of the past, though, isn't it? We're bringing it back. And I'm going to talk about that on Carols and Stories. So stay tuned. The Advent wreath. But if you notice, the Advent wreath has the four candles plus the one in the center, each with its own special meaning. As I said, the first candle that we lit today is known as the candle of hope. Hope. Wow, there's a word that is talked about over 300 times in the scriptures. It's one of those words that can conjure up all sorts of feelings and memories of our lives. Sparks, perhaps, a memory of when you were in great need. A time when you had to rely purely on hope. I'm sure many of us have been there. As we think about this, I'm reminded of so many stories and so many movies about hope and survival. For example, the one thing that comes to mind is this. The stories like all of them walking through the desert. The Hebrews walking through the desert for 40 years. Can you imagine for 40 years wandering the desert, wondering what is going to happen? Where are you going to end up? Many of us have felt that we have been wandering for years. But I'm glad you're here this morning, because hopefully we can direct you to where God wants you to be, and that's right here, hearing His Word. How about some of those great movies we have? I got to share with you one of my favorite movies. How many of you remember this guy? How about Tom Hanks? Remember the movie Castaway? Yeah. He's initially stranded on a desert island in the middle of the Pacific. I can never understand why they called it a desert island in the middle of the Pacific, but that's another story. But here he is, stranded on an island. Then he decides to try to save himself. He builds that little raft, and he goes out, and then he's stranded out at sea with nothing to cling to but hope. Yeah, hope. We see this in many of the stories, and what we see a lot is they're alone. They're by themselves. And there's two things because of that that is very common to those who are lost or stranded. First is fear. The first thing they have in common is fear, fear of the unknown. And the second thing that they come in contact with and have in common is hope. But hope for what? Hope that you will be found. Hope that you'll be saved. Hope that you will see your loved ones once again. It's because when the simple things of life, they just seem so far away, hope can be a powerful ally. Because hope gives you the power to feel that you can endure anything, even war. Especially if you are one of those unfortunate men or women that were captured. At a church I used to serve, I had the privilege of meeting a man by the name of Will Remus. Will has been called home to his heavenly glory, but I remember I interviewed Will one time. Because, see, Will spent 2 years in a concentration camp in World War II. The stories that he told, I just shake you to your core. But I asked Will, what kept you going when you were in that concentration camp for over 2 years? And without hesitation, he responded, hope. Hope that God would protect me, and if it is His will, save me. He goes, my faith in Jesus gave me hope. You know, hope is the one thing that's enough to sustain you when you need to keep going. But, you know, I've noticed there's a flip side to hope. This is equally true, because when you are hopeless, that is, when you have lost your sense of hope, your reality can seem immensely dim. The fact is, when you find yourself in hopelessness, it's a dark place. There's nothing to grab onto, nothing to keep you going. Because you don't know what lies ahead. And that's when many, well, frankly, that's when they give up. So hope can be an incredible and a powerful thing. But clearly, there are many different types of hope out in the world today. But understand that today and through this series, I'm not talking about a knock on wood kind of hope. I'm not talking about throw a penny into a wishing well kind of a hope. I'm not talking about a blow out your candle on your birthday cake kind of a hope. Friends, I am talking about a real, life-changing, life-altering kind of hope. And that's the kind of hope that we see in the Scriptures today. So let us, over the next 4 weeks of this Advent season, we're going to talk about an Advent hope. Advent, you know, if you're relatively new to church parlance, Advent, it simply means a coming or an arrival. And this was the hope that the people had 2,000 years ago as they waited for the Messiah, as they anxiously waited for that anointed one to come and rescue them. And now, we here today, the second advent is what gives us hope today. Waiting, we come here every week praying that when Jesus comes, that he will come in all of his glory and take as many of my friends as possible. Yeah. See, when you understand and when you embrace the hope that is in Christ Jesus, it will change your life. So perhaps over the next 4 weeks, we can experience together the powerful message of an Advent hope. Now, the concept of an Advent hope, this is not something relatively new. This is an ancient thing. This goes all the way back to the beginning of man. Genesis chapter 3, as a matter of fact, the beginning of the scriptures. You remember that? Genesis chapter 3, we read those stories when it was perfect. They were in the garden. Well, that is until we messed it up. Yeah. And you know what I'm talking about, that situation called sin. And ever since that sin entered the world, we have been longing for a solution to our sin problem. We've been longing for a way to restore the perfect relationship that we once had with God. We see today two key components for an Advent hope. The first key component that we see is that hope rises from a desperate need. Yeah, desperation. Tom Hanks, wandering in a desert, the conditions of your life. And then we read in Romans chapter 12, therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man and death through sin, and in this way death came to all people because all have sinned. Now, keeping this in mind, as the church, we understand, really, we have a great grasp of the good news, the gospel, right? We understand the good news. This, chapter 3 of Genesis, breaks the bad news to us. And that bad news is, we are all sinners. And if you weren't aware of that, I'm sorry to break that bad news to you. We are all sinners. So I want to just picture something for a minute. Let's go back to that garden. Picture the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve living in perfect harmony with God. But there's one rule. Don't eat the fruit of the tree. Don't. Did they? Spoiler alert, yeah, they did. And because they broke that one rule, sin and death now enters the world. And we read in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, and I will put an enmity, that's Abba, that's the Hebrew word, which means, by the way, hatred and hostility between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel. God was saying here, because of sin, there is now going to be disorder. Disorder where it was perfect order. But hang on. Because a chosen descendant of Eve will be the victor. And the enemy, Satan, will be crushed and defeated. So therefore, in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, we see the first promise of a redeemer. And because that ultimate seed of Eve is Jesus himself. So we see right here in Genesis chapter 3, a world is broken and hope is born. And thus the longing begins for a Savior. Now let's look in Scripture just real quickly how long it takes, how long people had to wait for this relationship to be restored. As we read through the Scriptures, we see all the patriarchs of Scripture, all of our heroes in Scripture come and go. Genesis chapter 5, because of sin, Adam dies. Genesis chapter 9, Noah. Here's one of God's favorites. He chose him to help save the world. God loves him. Is he the one? Well, no, because of sin, Noah dies. Then in Genesis 25, we have Abraham, the father of God's people. Surely he's the one that's going to... Nope. He dies too. So we see because of sin, from Adam and Eve, the punishment keeps working through generation and generation. But hope remained. God's people kept saying that eventually somebody's going to come. Somebody's going to save us. Somebody's going to make this right. So they look at our great heroes of Scripture, Isaac, the promised son of Abraham. Was he? No, he died. Jacob, the father of Israel. No, he died too. How about Moses? Surely Moses is the one. He led his people, and after leading it, no, he died too. Yet the longing for a Savior remained in the hearts of God's people. They continued to tell stories to their children about God's promise of a deliverer. So the Advent hope, friends, was burning brighter than ever. And then they thought, if only we had a king that would fight for us. How about King Saul? No. How about King David? No, not King David. Then how about King Solomon? All died. Then came all the prophets on the scene, declaring boldly the word of God. And yes, each one of them also died. Then the last prophet, Malachi, comes on the scene. He gives God's word, and then silence. Now, most Bibles that you have between the Old Testament and the New Testament is a blank page. That's the 400 years of silence. 400 years on that blank page that God was completely silent. See, it seems that God was no longer walking in perfect harmony with man, because God went just radio silence for 400 years. God was no longer speaking from the mountaintops or through his prophets. Nothing. Now, I don't know why God chose 400 years. There's been a lot of speculation, but I don't know. Or why he allowed generation after generation to wait for the hope that they had in their hearts. But 400 years, that's 146,000 nights. God said nothing to his people. But Paul, in Galatians chapter 4, tells us why the silence is not over. Paul tells us, but when the time, when the set time had fully come, God sent his son. Now, when I read this, I can almost envision God the Father and Jesus sitting there going, it's time. It's time. So God sent a light into the world, into the darkness that all could see, as if to say, let's give them what they've been longing for so many years. Remember the first point I had? Hope rises from a desperate need. Well, this is another point, the second point. Hope is only satisfied through who? Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, there may be someone in this room, or perhaps even someone online, who is living in darkness, living in desperation right now with little or no hope. Maybe it's physical pain. Maybe it's financial hardship, a loss of a loved one. Maybe it's a relationship issue. Maybe it's an employment issue. And if you are, please pay close attention to this second point. Hope is satisfied through Christ Jesus alone. The Advent hope, friends, that we celebrate today is the answer that we've been searching for. Now, I realize that this is in direct conflict to what the world tells us out there, what we see on TV, what a lot of our friends tell of us, because the answer to our happiness, the answer to our joy is not more money. It's not more popularity. It's not success in business, but it is found in Christ and in Christ alone. It's found in His promise of a new life. Because the silence has been broken, it is time to rejoice. In fact, I love the way 1 Peter says it. In 1 Peter 1:3, praise be to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And friends, it is only because of the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus that we can have an Advent hope. Because Jesus defeated death on the cross and He restored us to the Father. We now have that pathway back to God, the creator of all things, through Christ Jesus. So the good news of this Advent hope that we all have in our hearts is complete restoration with God. That is something to rejoice about. And friends, the Advent hope is alive and washing over all of us here today. And just like those people clinging to, to the hope to survive, those people that are clinging to that little hope, maybe they're lost at sea or wandering in the desert for 40 years or the situation that you're going through in your life right now. Hope will give you the strength to do the things that you could not normally do or wouldn't have the courage to do. So I say, come to the cross this morning and see Him. See the one who died for you. Because friends, great is our Lord. Great is our Lord. It is His breath in our lungs. It is His hope in our hearts. So I would normally pray at the end of every message, but today what I'd like to do is sing. Great is our Lord.